welcome.
Thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Today,
what we're going to do,
is preach on the subject of six truths of the Christian faith.
All right. So go to Romans chapter five.
Verses 12 and 13.
Romans 5, verses 12 and 13.
All right.
Starting in verse 12.
The King James Bible says this.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world,
and death by sin.
And so death passed upon all men.
For that all have sinned.
Okay.
Then verse 13.
For unto the law sin was in the world.
But sin is not imputed.
Where there is no law.
All right.
Let's go ahead and pray.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to preach your word once again.
Father, I cannot preach without the Holy Spirit, with power, with conviction, and without compromise.
Father, please help those who are listening to grow in grace.
And if any of them are not saved, I pray that today will be their day of salvation.
You be able to praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. I pray.
All right, so this is six truths of the Christian faith.
There are truths in the Christian faith that without them it would not be a Christian faith.
So let's examine some of those today.
All right, number one.
Every person stands in the need of salvation.
Romans 5:12.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
That one man that you see there is Adam.
Okay.
Now, what happened?
What happened with Adam and Eve?
Go to Genesis chapter 2.
And let's read verses 15 to 17.
Starting in verse 15.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it.
For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Okay, you see that? So God gives a man a commandment to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Okay, but what happened?
Go to Genesis 3, and we will read verses 1, 2, 7.
Okay.
Starting in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made.
That is Satan.
Okay, that's not a snake. That is Satan.
And listen to what he says.
And he said unto the woman,
Yea, hath God said,
Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
See, he's saying there
Did God really say that?
You better think about that.
Because that's not what he's saying.
Alright? He's trying to call God a liar.
A liar.
Okay?
And listen to what Eve says.
And the woman said unto the serpent,
We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden.
Okay?
So here she left out freely.
Freely.
Okay?
God said freely.
God said freely, but
Eve left it out.
Okay?
Okay?
Now, verse 3.
But of the fruit of the tree,
which is in the midst of the garden,
God has said, ye shall not eat of it.
Neither shall ye touch it.
Let me stop right there.
Did God say, neither shall ye touch it?
No. He didn't say that.
Okay.
And then Eve says,
Lest ye die.
Okay.
Did God say that?
Did God say that?
God didn't say, lest ye die.
He said, shall surely die.
Die.
There's a difference.
Amen.
There.
Amen.
All right, verse 4.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
See, he's calling God a liar.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods,
knowing good and evil.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes,
and a tree to be desired to make one wise.
See the poetry of the King James Bible.
She took of the fruit thereof and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat.
Now because they ate.
Look what happens.
And the eyes of them both were opened.
And they knew that they were naked.
And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
All right. So Adam was held responsible.
Okay, he is the head of the home.
All right, so God held him responsible.
Okay.
All right.
So now, because Adam's sin was deliberate.
He deliberately disobeyed God.
Now, sin is imputed to every man.
All right, so God cannot allow sin into heaven.
All right, so ye must be born again.
Okay, so now what is sin?
Sin is anything that does not please God.
Okay, look at Romans 14:23.
It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak.
Has thou faith, have it to thyself before God.
Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth.
And in verse 23.
And he that doubteth is damned if he eat.
Because he eateth not of faith.
For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Sin.
Okay?
Now go to James 4:17.
James 4:17.
James 4:17 says,
Therefore,
to him, to him
that knoweth
to do good
and doeth it not
to him
it is a sin.
All right, now go to 1 John 5:17.
1 John 5:17.
First John 5:17 says,
All unrighteousness
is sin.
And there is a sin.
Not unto death.
Okay.
All right. So
when Adam and Eve
sinned that day,
when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil,
they died spiritually
that day.
Okay.
Physical death
came later on.
So now
Adam
has a dead spirit.
Okay?
He is two-thirds man.
And that is why
Christ told Nicodemus
in John chapter 3,
ye must be born again.
Okay, that spirit needs to be made alive.
Okay, so Adam's sin.
Adam's sin,
it is imputed
to all mankind.
All right.
When Christ was put on that cross.
He was put on that cross,
and the sins of the whole world.
Were placed
on his shoulders.
And not only was those sins put on his shoulders,
but he became sin for us.
Who knew no sin.
Alright?
So man's sin is imputed to Christ.
On that cross.
All right, go to 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians
5:21.
Second Corinthians 5:21 says,
For he hath made him to be sin for us.
Who knew no sin.
That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
All right, you see that?
So once a person is saved, they put their faith and trust in Christ.
And his death, burial, and resurrection.
Then God's righteousness is imputed to that person.
All right, imputed to them through Jesus Christ.
All right, but you say, I'm not a sinner.
I don't sin.
Look at Romans 3.
Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 11.
Starting in verse 10.
As it is written.
There is none righteous.
No, not one.
There is none that understandeth.
There is none that seeketh.
After God.
Romans 3:23.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory.
Of the glory of God.
All right, we are all sinners.
Amen.
The difference is that a saved sinner,
his sins
are all covered
under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then number two.
There exists the Savior
who is available
to whosoever will.
All right, look at John 3.
John chapter 3.
John chapter 3.
And we will read
verses 16 to 18.
All right, starting in verse 16.
For God so loved the world.
Notice there.
That the word love is past tense.
Okay.
For God so loved the world.
That he gave his only begotten Son.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish.
But have everlasting life.
Everlasting life.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world.
But that the world through him might be saved.
Now, I ask you,
why didn't Christ come into the world to condemn the world?
Verse 18.
He that believeth not on him is condemned already.
Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
The world is condemned.
They're condemned already because they believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right.
So, he that believeth is not condemned.
All right.
Now, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven.
There is no other way.
Look at John 14:6.
Jesus saith unto him,
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
You see that word, the there?
That means the only way.
Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation.
All right. So, we who are saved, we are given by God the ministry of reconciliation.
And we need to be going out and telling people about Jesus Christ.
And that He is the only way of salvation.
If we do not do it, who will?
All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Verses 18 to 21.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself,
not imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
And then verse 21, let's read verse 21 again.
For he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin.
We might be made the righteousness of God in him.
All right, see that?
Okay.
And then number three.
Each person must believe for themselves.
Just as each person will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an account, each and every one of us must believe for ourselves.
Nobody can believe for us.
It has to be us.
Salvation is a personal experience.
All right, Romans 14, please.
Romans 14, verses 10 to 12.
But why dost thou judge thy brother?
Why dost thou judge thy brother?
Why dost thou set at naught thy brother?
For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
For it is written, as I live,
every knee shall bow to me.
And every tongue shall confess to God.
So then every one of us shall give an account of himself
to God.
Let us not therefore judge
one another anymore,
but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block
or an occasion to fall
In his brother's way.
Alright?
Each of us must believe,
just as each of us will give an account.
Okay?
Catholics believe
that they can pray someone out of purgatory,
but purgatory does not exist.
All right, there is no in between
heaven and hell.
All you have is heaven and hell.
Okay,
and then number four.
All born again believers
have unconditional
eternal life.
Alright, look at Ephesians.
Ephesians 4, verse 30.
Ephesians 4, verse 30 says,
And grieve not
the Holy Spirit of God,
whereby ye are sealed
unto the day of redemption.
So we who are saved, we are sealed
unto the day of redemption.
We cannot lose our salvation whatsoever.
Amen.
Now,
in Christ,
we are new creatures.
In Christ,
we are justified.
We are found.
Not guilty.
Now,
God looks at us
who are saved. He looks at us
like He does His only begotten Son.
The righteousness of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Now in Christ.
Go to Romans 8:1.
Romans 8:1 says,
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
All right, so I will stop right there.
Because I want to say something about that.
Okay.
Many, when they teach this verse,
they will say that we who are saved have no condemnation.
That is true to a point.
When it comes to salvation, we have no condemnation.
But if we break the law, if we steal, or kill somebody, God forbid.
We will have legal condemnation.
Okay, but when it comes to salvation, no.
All right, so verse one.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Now, listen to this.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Okay.
Amen.
All right.
So in Christ you have no condemnation when it comes to salvation.
Okay.
And so there is nothing that nobody can do that can take away your salvation.
You are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Which is the rapture.
Amen.
If we could lose our salvation,
Christ would have to die over and over again
on that cross.
On that cross. But he died only once.
And one of the very last things he said on that cross
was,
It is finished.
It's done.
He died once for all.
Amen. Amen.
And then number five.
A child of God has peace and joy.
Because his sins are forgiven.
I look at Colossians chapter 2.
And let's read verses 13 to 15.
And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh,
hath he quickened, meaning to make alive.
Okay.
Quickened together with him.
Having forgiven you all trespasses.
Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us.
And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
And having spoiled principalities and powers,
he made a show of them openly,
triumphing over them in it.
All your sins, if you are saved,
past, present, future, are all forgiven.
They're all covered under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right.
So once you have seen that you are a sinner and you place your trust in Christ and his finished work.
All your sins are forgiven you.
Now, what do we do?
Because
we're sinners.
We're going to sin.
Right?
There's no such thing as sinless perfection.
Only Jesus Christ.
The only man that walked on this earth that was sinless.
So what must we do?
If we sin.
Go to 1 John chapter 1.
And we'll start in verse 3.
1 John chapter 1, verse 3.
That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son Jesus Christ.
All right, so notice fellowship there.
Okay.
And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
This then is the message which we have heard of you, and declare unto you that God is light.
And in him is no darkness at all.
If we say that we have fellowship with him
and walk in darkness,
we lie and do not the truth.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
If we say that we have no sin,
we deceive ourselves.
And the truth is not in us.
Number verse 9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
If we say that we have not sinned,
we make him a liar.
And his word is not in us.
Okay? 1 John 1:9.
All right?
This has nothing to do with salvation whatsoever.
This is a saved person confessing their sin.
Confessing their sin to God.
Okay?
So what sin does to us has nothing to do with our salvation.
But it hurts our fellowship with God.
Okay, so we confess it to God.
Lord, I did this.
You're right, I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay, and then
He cleanses us and puts us back into the right fellowship with him.
But if we keep sinning and sinning and sinning,
and we don't confess it,
and God keeps spanking us and spanking us,
But we never confess
but
our
we
sin.
Never confess our sin.
You know what could happen?
You know what could happen?
God very well
could bring us home.
Could bring us home
early.
Okay.
Now, number six. The reward
for salvation
is a mansion
in heaven.
John 14.
Starting in
verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled.
Ye believe in God, believe also in me.
In my Father's house
are many mansions.
If it were not so, I would have told you.
I go to prepare a place for you.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself.
And where I am, there ye may be also.
And whither I go, ye know the way.
All right. So there's many mansions
in heaven.
What is these mansions?
All right.
Many equate these mansions to mansions we have
on this earth.
You know, with five bedrooms, four bathrooms, three car garages, and all this other.
But that's not the mansion that the Bible is talking about.
The mansion that the Bible talks about we have is our glorified bodies
that we will get
in heaven
after the rapture.
All right.
This body is our house.
Okay.
So at the rapture.
We will get a glorified body,
and we will be just like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look at 2 Corinthians 5.
2 Corinthians
chapter 5.
Let's read verses 1 to 4.
For we know
that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved,
we have a building of God,
a house not made with hands,
eternal
in the heavens.
For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven.
If so be, being clothed, we shall not be found naked.
For we, therein this tabernacle, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed.
But clothed upon,
that mortality might be swallowed up of life.
All right, now look at 1 Corinthians 15.
I'm almost finished, so please bear with me.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 54.
Behold, I show you a mystery.
We shall not all sleep.
But we shall all be changed.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
At the last trump.
For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible.
And we shall be changed.
For this corruption must put on incorruption.
And this mortal must put on immortality.
For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality.
Then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written.
Death is swallowed up in victory.
All right. Last verse, and I'll be finished.
Go to 1 John chapter 3.
1 John chapter 3.
First John chapter 3, verse 2.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God.
And it doth not yet appear what we shall be.
But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him.
For we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
praise
God.
All right, so that is
the six truths.
The six truths
about the Christian faith.
About the Christian faith.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you so very much
for being with me today.
And listening to the preaching of the word of God.
And I pray that this message was a blessing to you.
Amen.
Amen.
And until next time.
And until next time.
God bless you.